This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
Power on. Power on.
It's time to take your place on the starting grid and get ready for Racer Radio. Your host, Dave Stahl, about to take you for a white-knuckled lap around the motorsports industry, covering everything from top-notch national drivers and crew chiefs right down to your local kid racers and racetracks. Watch for the apex, because here comes Racer Radio with Dave Stahl.
All right, folks, welcome. This is Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer. This segment brought to you by San Diego Carburetor and Fuel Injection. Whether it's a street car, race car, classic car, or vintage, Stan is the man. He can work on carburetors, fuel injection, and distributors. Go to sdcarb.com. He's open, and he's ready to help you out in a very sane and sanitary fashion. He's taking care of you like everybody else. Hey, also Black Forest Motorsports, we got a Porsche Mini or BMW. They got 40 years experience. They work on race cars, vintage cars, and your brand new cars. So if they're closer to you than the dealer, go to Black Forest Motorsports, blackforestautomotive.com. All right, we got Brittany Sandoval on the line, car 37 at Barona Speedway, if they ever open the track again, and I'm sure it's right around the corner. So Brittany has been doing her due diligence. She's my Cub reporter, and she's out there, and she's finding drivers that have got just amazing credentials and really good people. I think that's a school teacher coming out in her. How you doing, Britt?
I'm well. All is well on this end. How about you, Dave?
Well, you know me, just pumping out 5 hours of radio so I keep my sanity, and thanks to you and all the great guests that and all the people I've been talking to today, I'm having a wonderful day. How about you?
That's good. That's good to hear. Oh, yeah. Pretty nice. I thought it would be sunnier on Easter.
I know.
But still nice enough to walk the dogs.
There you go. So, hey, who you got lined up for us today?
Well, as you mentioned before the commercial break, Devin Morgan, young driver. But like you said, he caught my eye, and I do think it might be the teacher in me. I do like to look for the goodness in people. And having started 19th on that feature race and ended up 5th on that third and final night, and then just listening to him speak, he sounded genuine and positive and just happy to be a part of it. So I thought you'd enjoy interviewing Devin Morgan.
Absolutely. Devin, sounds like you got an A in class. Hey, Devin, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
You know, just trying to get through this craziness. I'm sure you're, you know, can't wait to get behind the wheel of a real race car, not taking anything away from iRacing, but I'm sure you're kind of chomping at the bit.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely ready to hop back in a rail car. But I'm thankful to be able to have iRacing as a tool to, you know, keep me sharp while we're on this, I guess you'd say, break.
Yeah. So do you see a real benefit to iRacing for your actual track racing?
Oh, yes. I see a huge benefit from it. It keeps my skills sharp, keeps me always ready, and then I'm always learning new things from iRacing that I can put into my real racing, or even things from real racing that I can take and put into iRacing. It works both ways very, very well. iRacing's done a good job to bring the realism into it. And I can't thank them enough for everything, you know, they do. It just keeps me ready.
Well, you know, one thing I haven't asked anybody that's actually iRaced before, because, you know, you can't feel the road, you can't feel the track, you know, in the seat of your pants. But how about the steering? Is the steering as reactive in the iRacing as it is in your race car, or is it different?
Oh, I'd definitely say it's as reactive in the sim as it's in my race car, for sure.
Okay. Because, you know, sometimes, you know, because some race cars are heavier to steer, some are lighter to steer, and I was just kind of wondering what you would feel. Now, Brittany, you've never driven iRacing, have you?
I have not, and I've been so curious. May I ask a clarification question?
Sure.
Because I know about reading a track. I race on the dirt, and you read a track, you know, you look at the colors, you look at the other cars. how they're reacting to the track. But in iRacing, how do you read a track? Because I hear the drivers talking about reading the track.
Reading the track is especially big on the iRacing, and especially at such a big event as the Spring Fling. We do it a lot about look, and then you also got a feeling, like, you know, I found a little white dirt around the bottom, and even though it was still slick, technically, it had more bite than the black slicked off area.
Okay, so you are looking at the color like you would at a traditional track.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Nice going, Brittany. You just gave away his trade secret.
Well, that's how you do it at a real dirt track, but I didn't know if you were looking at that or if you're looking at how the car in front of you is reacting or if you got somebody else in the room with you looking at how the other cars are reacting. I was just curious about how it translates because you used the word tool. You're using that sim as a tool, and I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I did too. So now you don't have what kind of equipment do you have? What do you drive with in the iRacing?
For like my wheel and pedals, is that?
Yeah, and do you use a screen or VR?
Currently, I'm on a single monitor, it's 27-inch, you know, something regular.
Uh-huh.
Attaboy.
I'm wanting to move on to the VR. I have an old one here that I'm actually right beside me, but I got tired of having it. It had some bugs, and I got tired of it, so I'm looking to upgrade to a newer one.
Yeah.
I use a Logitech G29 belt-driven wheel and a Club Sport V3 Fanatic pedals, which are very nice.
Okay, now you're the second one that's told me about this wheel. What is that? What does the wheel do for your iRacing? The belt-driven one. The belt-driven one.
So basically, you got belt-driven, you got direct drive. The difference would be like belt-driven has got the force feedback, which like the sim sends to the wheel, like that you can feel like the bumps. And through the wheel, and so it sends it to a force feedback motor, which is on a belt to a steering shaft, which is what you're steering with, and that's where you feel the bumps and everything. And then you have a direct drive wheel, which the force feedback motor is also the steering shaft, which is it gives you a lot better of a feeling.
Okay. Brittany, you're absolutely correct, because I didn't know any of those questions I asked you, and I've been dying to find somebody that could answer those questions for me.
Yeah, because these guys are talking about setup, like they're thanking their crew chief for setup, and yeah. I'm like, what does that mean in the virtual world? What does that mean?
I know.
So it's picking and choosing this combination.
Right.
And you have a certain time period you have to make all these choices. Like, if it's a bigger track and you pick your gearing, when do you have to choose that by? 5 minutes before a race or what?
Well, actually, the setup inside of iRacing, we have like a lot of different options. We can change with springs and ride heights and the bars and everything, gear.
And, wow.
Throughout practice, we can change anything we want to in there. We can change to a completely different setup because we have you have on the computer and you go into your folders and you put setups in there. So
we have
about 10 setups per racetrack, and then changing the gear and stuff. We had about a minute after practicing, we had about a minute of gridding up that we could make our final adjustment.
Well, that's pretty
so
cool.
Like springs, at least in the dwarf world, there are different brands of springs. Are there a variety of brands, or is everyone running the same and then you just choose, you know, I want a 250 and a 300?
Yeah, it's everyone's on the same setup sheet. It's just, you know, numbers and, you know, you could have all the same springs and same bar setups, and it could just be a different matter of ride heights in the setup.
All right. Hey, before I let you go, I understand you're raffling off a dwarf roller.
Different person?
Different.
Different.
I guess I should.
He doesn't do dwarf. He's not. He likes bigger cars.
I know.
Devin likes bigger cars.
All
well,
right.
But he started in carts, so he just like went right past dwarf.
Well, I'm a cart guy. That's how I started. But I started in carts way before you were born, and I like karting. I still, whenever I have an opportunity, you know, I'll take a run out to K1 Speed. That's kind of my simulator, just to stay sharp. But you know, that's just me. Have you done K1 Speed?
Yeah, we have, kind of the closest one to us is up in Charlotte.
Yeah.
And we go out to the World of Outlaws World Finals every year in November, and we always make a trip there and, you know, ride on that.
And tell them it's okay. Eight wheels are still better than four in the turns. That's what I keep telling them.
Oh, my God.
Well, it does. It works. Then they turn me down. Then they turn my power down. I hate that.
Right.
But that's
so
amazing.
Devin, you know, he raced with 180 drivers. This week was a three-dayer, 180 drivers. He ended up on the podium with fifth. So I'm curious how he's going to do when that season opens up again.
Yeah. And, no pressure. No pressure.
No, I'd love to check in or have him check in at the end of the season and see how he does.
Oh, yeah.
On the dirt.
Brittany didn't tell you, but once you come on our show, you're stuck. You're going to come back on more than once. And the main thing, once you get back driving again, what we always push you to do is talk sponsors. Sponsors, sponsors, sponsors. All right. And let's talk about sponsors, because I'm sure you had some before the pandemic. And it's always good to give the sponsors a little love. Right here on FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer. AM 1170, The Answer. This is Racer Radio, and this segment is brought to you by El Cajon Ford, where nobody, absolutely nobody, treats you better than El Cajon Ford, 1595 East Main Street. Go to ElCajonFord.com for purchase. Services open. They're there for you. All right. Hey, we got our good buddy Todd's on the line. How you doing, man?
How are you? Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you, too. Are you surviving, or are you out driving your tractor around?
I'm sitting at home going nuts.
Totally. I know. You and me both. But I can't. I don't know what it is. I have to come in and do radio, and I have to do KUSI because I just can't stand it. I just got to do it. Just got to do it. But I guess the track is, oh, my gosh. How much rain did you get hit with this last couple of days?
I think we had about 6 inches.
Well,
so I had gotten a tractor and I dug all the drains out about a month ago before the rains came, the first wave in March. And so I got everything opened, you know, and this and that. And then we got this last bunch of rain coming. And it's terrible.
I know. Is it you're going to have to rework the roads up in the pits, or did they survive?
No, they're smoked. The place looks like a bomb went off.
Does it really? Golly.
Yeah.
Jeez.
It'll take me about a week to, you know, just get machines out there.
Yeah.
And just to dial everything in and get everything to flow and just to get everything drying out. But
yeah.
There's no standing water.
Well, that's
and everything's
good.
Flowing.
That's good.
It's just, the slopes are smoked and everything's just... eroded away.
Yeah. Well, there's nobody better to fixing those roads than you. So, you know, at least Barona fans. And by the way, Dirt Dude just texted me and he said he wanted to make sure that, you know, that Barona thanked all the fans for their patience. But trust me, everybody is on the edge of their chairs. Everybody is just gnawing on their front bumpers trying to get this coronavirus out, done, gone, so we can get back to racing.
Paul called me Friday was my birthday. I just turned 50 on Friday.
Oh, my goodness.
And
happy birthday.
Thank you. I think that guy's champing at the bit wanting to get in his brand new race car.
I already told you that he took 10 laps in the service department with it. I said, yeah. What, on the weekend? He goes, oh, no, during the week. Oh, okay, so he's got – well, he had to have an audience, right?
Yeah. He's my very dear friend and a big sponsor of the racetrack. A big help to me and my family. My kids love him. And he's a good man.
Yep, he definitely is that. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And, you know, El Cajon Ford is working super hard to, you know, not only to help the local track, but to also help out their customers, too, because that's one thing when you buy a vehicle from El Cajon Ford, it's like joining the family. I mean, you actually become part of the family.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So. I want, once we're done with all this craziness, I want to do something special. You know, for our racers and our fans.
Sure. What do you want to do?
I don't know. I want to do something when we finally get back to racing.
Yep.
I want to do something good.
Well, if there's anything I can do to help you with that, I don't even know what it is, but I am here for you, my friend. Because you and your family have just literally bent over backwards, never worked harder than any track promoter family that I've ever seen. And you guys have always put your fans first and the drivers first, and you guys are usually down the list when it comes to, you know, being acknowledged. But and that just shows the love of yours. I mean, we had a track owner here in town. I loved him to death, but he was the only one that was into it. The rest of the family wasn't into it. Your family's into it, and that makes a big, big difference.
Yeah, my mom, I hadn't seen my mom in about 4 weeks, and I saw her last week. My wife has been going to the store getting her and my Aunt Jan stuff. And
sure.
I got to see her last Saturday, not yesterday, last week.
Wow.
And she's a big part, just like Troy and my kids, my two young kids and Lexi.
So you guys are actually keeping the family separated as well, huh?
Yeah. Well, she's going to be 75 in September.
No, she's not. She's 61 if she's a day.
Yeah. Yeah.
She racing's good for her.
She handles it.
No, she doesn't look. I was dead serious. I could have sworn she would have been in her 60s. She's how old? 70 yeah. What?
She'll be 75 in September.
I'll be 75 in August.
Yeah.
Her and I should hang out together. I mean, we're both old.
Watch it there, buddy.
Yeah, I'm only kidding. I love her. She's the best. Absolutely the best. So I guess there's really no reason to ask anything about as far as, you know, scheduling because we don't know. Because, you know, I just heard now they're talking about L.A.'s talking about extending this thing out to May 15th. And, you know, New York is talking June. So, I mean, we really can't. You know, I just hope that California stays low and we start doing a gradual, you know, back to work program. That's what I'm hoping for.
As soon as the craziness stops and everything, we're all safe. That's the most important thing.
Absolutely.
We all need to stay safe. And racing can wait. You know, sure. I know some people are probably champing at the bit.
Oh, yeah.
But we all need to be safe and take care of ourselves and our families and you know, everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone involved.
Well, yeah, because racing's no good without family.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I'm right there with you.
As soon as this craziness started, you know, I called Paul. I talked to my mom, talked to my brother, talked to Roger Harper, talked to my wife, Trisha. And, you know, before all the bans and everything came out, we just said we're just going to put opening day, April 4th, mm-hmm. on hold and just wait and just let the craziness step by us.
Well, you know, one thing just dawned on me, what I'm going to do is I'll send an email to your lovely wife, Trisha, and I'll give her some dates so that when you know you're going to be opening up, I definitely want to give you a KUSI segment to bring some cars in and let everybody know that you guys are back with a vengeance. And so I will send that email out tomorrow to your wife and make this happen.
Okay. You know, I think it'll be a cool thing, you know, as far as bringing unity and people out of the racetrack and enjoying themselves for, a good night of fun.
Yeah. And the thing that's so neat about your track is if people are still a little bit nervous, you know, about being close together, that track, you could be 10 feet apart and still see all the racing and still have a great time. So if you are still into social separation, you know, Barona Speedway has no problem accommodating that. Because, I mean, you've got all kinds of acreage out there.
Definitely.
How many acres is that track? How many acres are you out there? Do you know?
The whole facility with the drag strip and us is about 40 acres.
Holy mackerel.
40 graded acres, yes.
Yeah, well, that could definitely give you your separation if that's the case, you know, if you want that. Let me tell you, 40
definitely.
Acres. Goodness gracious.
Yes.
So you're able to work? Are you still working?
I mean, we're taking off Mondays and Fridays.
Okay.
And then both of my kids are obviously home, and I've just been staying with them during the week.
Sure.
When I'm off.
Mm-hmm.
And everything's good. You know, we just need to get past this.
Yeah, we sure do. But it's good in a way. It's good because, I mean, you've had some serious quality time with your kids. You know that. You know, when everything is normal, I mean, they're working, going here, going there, doing their thing. So that's kind of a little blessing in disguise.
They're riding their quads at our house and they're playing outside, and we have chickens. They got them as pullets, I believe they're called, when they're little tiny ones.
Okay.
And they're almost ready, 6 months old. I think they're 3.5 months old.
How many did you get?
Six. Yeah, six chickens.
We got 10. And my wife loves her chickens. They follow her everywhere. They're like pets.
Yeah. Well, we've had three. This is the third time we've done it.
Yeah.
And we started with 10, and the dogs got a hold. They got out, and the dogs got a hold of them.
Yeah, I know.
And then we did the six, and then we do cows, and we had a pony for my daughter, for Tatum.
Oh.
And the pony passed away last year.
Aw.
But we usually do a cow, and we got chickens. We're in Ramona.
Yeah. Well, I'm in Alpine, so we have our chicken coop inside of a 6x12 dog kennel with a roof on top. And the dog, somebody left the gate open, and the Roddy says, "Oh, these are fun. Let's bounce around a few chickens." Comes to the back door, he's got a chicken in his mouth. I go, "Oh, geez, and I got to tell her, oh my God, this will be terrible."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most of the time they just play with them, and then it goes further than that.
But. Yeah, I know. But this turned into a poultry show. Hey, so people can still, the best place to go, because I'm sure you're still keeping your website up to date, anything news, anything that you need to get a word out, that's probably the best place to go, right?
Yes. Either the Facebook or baronaspeedway.com.
You got it, buddy. Hey, be safe. Give the family a big hug, and we will get through this. With folks like you, it's going to be perfect.
I hope we all do.
I know.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good Easter. Go look for those Easter eggs. I know they're out there. So, oh, no. They're still in the chickens. Forget about it.
Yeah.
All right. Take care, buddy. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Scott Delosio, he's scratching the walls as we speak because he's just as stressed out as everybody else. I don't know. Maybe there is no hockey going on. Maybe that's what the problem is. We'll find out pretty soon right here on Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer. All right, folks. Welcome back. You are listening to Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170, Answer. This segment is brought to you by Paris Auto Speedway. Yeah, that track's still there. It's probably a little damp right now, but that track is so ready to get back to racing. I mean, I can hear it rattling every single day that we're not back. And we've got the voice of Paris Auto Speedway on the line, Scott Delosio. Well, buddy, how are you doing?
Doing good. Happy Easter to you and all your listeners, Dave.
Thank you, buddy. Same to you. So, and how's the puppy doing? I had to ask.
Oh, he's doing great. He's had almost 4 months now.
Oh, my goodness. He's totally in charge, huh?
Almost 4 months, and I think he's pooped outside 5 times.
You got him totally trained.
Yeah. The other 444 times worried about.
Yeah, but that's okay. Consider it fertilizer. Because you're giving him good food, right?
Fertilizer on the carpet ain't too good.
Oh, that's true. Oh, yeah. Oh, you're having... Yeah, my wife's trying to talk me into hardwood floors. I don't like hardwood floors. I like carpet.
Yeah, me either. That'd be the last straw for me.
Yeah, that would be too. So I was just talking to Barona, and they got annihilated with this last storm. Any word from Don as to how the track's doing? Because I know you haven't been out there.
No, I haven't talked to him over the past few days. I'm pretty sure. Well, the track is always fine because the track itself drains well. It just drains down to the infield.
Yeah.
And I'm sure right now you could probably sail boats down there.
A little water ski action going on.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, it's right now there's nothing you can do.
No.
Normally the racetrack is busy. You know, people just think we race Saturday night. So the racetrack is busy with practices during the week. You know, we get TV shoots, commercials, shoots, movie shoots that come in periodically, mm-hmm. videos. But because fairgrounds is closed down, everything's closed down, yeah. including the racetrack. So it's really no big deal till we get the all clear. We can start letting people back out on the track again. And who knows exactly when that's going to be.
Yeah, no, because we really don't. Because the last thing we want to do is go early. And, you know, have a relapse of what we've already gone through.
You know, things seem like they're heading in the right direction now. It's going to take a little bit longer, but in the long run, it's probably the smartest thing to do is let it play itself out till we're ready to go and everybody's safe.
Yeah, and hats off to California. I mean, we've kept our numbers flat. I mean, we haven't had, knock on wood, we haven't had any major spikes, and I think that's because, you know, people are doing the social distancing and, you know, and doing the things that they're supposed to do to try to, you know, get through this, you know, pandemic. And you're right. You know, if we just keep up the due diligence, hopefully, you know, we'll be able to get back and salvage, you know, what's little left of the season. So from your guys' point of view, you know, let's just say, you know, we go back in May. Are you still going to do an abbreviated season? Are you still going to have a championship? Or are you just going to hold races?
So far, Don has said we're having a full season.
Okay.
We are not canceling races so far. We're postponing races.
Gotcha.
So, you know, and early in the, you know, when this all was first talked about back in March, you know, he says we got to go to December. We're going into December. Now, you know, we'll see because mm-hmm. who knows? You know, that'd be kind of tough to do. But as far as our stock car shows, our Nights of Destruction, we control those. And he plans on getting all those in. The open wheel stuff with USAC, you know, we kind of got to go along with what they say. But I know Don would like to get all that stuff in as well, if possible, you know, just for the fans. Fans are being patient. Fans are understanding what's going on right now. And he wants to reward them for doing that.
Right. Yeah, and that's exactly right, because, you know, there's going to be a lot of pent-up race drivers once, you know, all the tracks around the country get back rolling again. And so, you know, I think it'll work out just fine. It's just a matter of, like you said, being patient and waiting, you know, for the right time. So we only have to do this once, not twice.
Well, you know, I did an interview with Jake Swanson just the other day, and anybody wants to see it, they can check out our website, Paris Auto Speedway, or our Facebook page. And according to Jake, besides his regular job, he has a company, Jake Swanson Shock Technology,
mm-hmm.
for open wheel cars. And he said, what's interesting to him, he goes, there's a lot of people putting cars together that it seems like they're not the normal people putting them together. It's just other people have time. Now they're getting cars together. And like Jake said, maybe that's going to give us some extra cars to race with when we're out there as well. So that's really interesting to listen to hear something like that.
In fact, that's great news. I mean, because car count is everything. I mean, you like to get butts in the seat, but car counts, man. I mean, that'll put butts in the seat, because when you get a bucket load of cars, boy, they're all going to want to come.
Yeah, we get a decent car count with our sprint cars, you know, usually 22 to 28 cars, mm-hmm. and hopefully we'll get a few more, get it back like it be. You know, it's hard to say get it back like it used to be when there used to be 35, 40 cars every night, because, you know, it's racing and people don't you know, people don't, how can I say this without insulting people? People get stupid and they spend too much money.
Yeah, I know.
It ruins it for everybody else.
Yeah. Well, and I was thinking about social distancing because, you know, once people go back there, it might take a little while for people to sit. But that's what's neat about Paris Auto Speedway. You know, the track layout and the stands are laid out in such a way that you can do that. You can go sit down by turn one and two, and you can sit down by three and four.
Yeah, we've got, I'm not sure exactly how many grandstands we seat, but I think it's the biggest for a weekly type track in California.
Mm-hmm.
So that wouldn't be much of a problem. We get enough. We got enough area where people can spread out once we get going again. Hopefully, like I say, hopefully we can go on sooner than later, but more importantly, we do it when it's safe.
Right. And that absolutely is the key. No ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Yeah. I mean, right now, you know, schedule, we're just canceled through the end of this month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nothing's been said. I haven't heard anything about Riverside County saying what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that'll be partially what dictates all of it is what the decision by the county is. You know, but if they say we can't race in May, we won't race in May.
No. There's no sense. Safety is first, period.
Right. Some people don't get that. I mean, there's some people think this is all a government conspiracy. And,
I know.
I'd be out there racing. Who cares? It's like, you know, you're an idiot. So go, you know, go jump off a cliff and see if that hurts.
No, you're absolutely right. But, you know, I get it. I mean, I understand it, you know, and, you know, the conspiracy theories, as you say, are out there. You're right. And you can make a conspiracy theory out of anything if you really put your mind to it.
Right. I had a friend today. I mean, you know me. I'm not the biggest fan of the Democratic Party. And the guy's telling me, he goes, this is all a plot by the Democrats.
Oh, please.
I go, so they were out to get Italy and England and China in 180 other countries around the world, too, right?
Right.
You know, I mean, that's just ridiculous.
I know. Well, I like the one where China did this. They killed 100,000 of their people just to attack us.
Right. Yeah, it's just, come on, people.
I know. Good. Well, you know, that's what happens when you lock them up. You know, and it's funny. Isn't it funny how people can't read a book? You know, maybe watch some old movies on TMC or clean their office.
Exactly.
You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly. You know, when I go out, and I've been out very little in the past 4 or 5 weeks, you know, it's most people get it. There's not a lot of people out there.
Yeah.
You know, but then you hear about some knuckleheads. There was a big party somewhere up here, L.A. area last night, where a bunch of people got shot up there at a party.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it ended up being a drive-by shooting and stuff. It's like, what don't you understand? Mm-hmm. Stay away from each other for a while.
I know. It's just, look at those kids over in Florida during spring break. I mean, it was just crazy. And that's what's going to, you know, it's those few that don't follow the law, you know, the few that don't follow the law that's going to cause everybody to be affected.
Oh, exactly. And, you know, and we always say, and I firmly believe it's 2020. You do not have to leave home to be entertained in under regular circumstances. And that's one thing, you know, racetrack promoters will tell you. It's like there's so much to do at home. Sometimes people just don't come out and they stay at home and be entertained. You have enough. You don't have to go anywhere.
No.
You know, between the internet, all the stuff you can get off television, you don't have to leave the house.
No. It's so funny.
You know, I get out every day and walk the dog.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Well, it is so funny, too, because I was going through my office and I found a photo of a girl by the name of Isabella Bucciolacchi. And, yeah, try that on for size. It took me a month to get that right. And she used to race go-karts, and I started interviewing her when she was six. And I've got my picture taken with her and I and the rest of my radio crew. And I found that photo, and I went, OMG, because today she's 22.
Wow.
So I sent her the picture, and she was absolutely blown away. So, there's gems in your office. Go look for them.
Yeah, gems in your office. And like I say, if you can't find something to watch on television, the way television today is now, or you can't be entertained on the internet, I don't know what to say.
No, I don't either. And then people saying, oh, you know, I don't know. You know, it's you just make of it what it is, you know. You know, I've been eating out a lot, you know, doing the, you know, helping out the small restaurants. But yesterday I broke down and fixed myself a massive shepherd pie that turned out off the charts. This thing was so good.
There you go. There you go.
So there's always something fun to do. So I guess the best thing for people to do is really just stay on top of ParisAutoSpeedway.com, because if anything comes up, it'll be there.
Yeah, there, our Facebook page. You know, we update the Facebook page usually 7-8 times a day. Mm-hmm. Instagram, the website, you know, like other racetracks.
Sure.
The Brownie, you know, the same Facebook, mm-hmm, and their website. You know, you can learn what's going on at Orange Show by going on their page, Ventura. It's all out there. Yeah. You know, racetracks are, most racetracks I know of are taking an interest in letting people know what's going on, trying to keep people entertained, putting stuff up there for them to absorb.
Sure. Well, you know, we all want to get back to racing, but just like you said, we want to get back to racing in a safe fashion where people can relax, enjoy the racing, and not worry about catching anything.
And not worrying about going through this again.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
You know, hopefully this is, I mean, I'm 63 years old. If everybody would have told me what happened, 9/11 and this, it'd be like, the only way you'd even believe it, it have to be in a movie.
Isn't that the truth? All right, buddy. Well, hey, be safe. Give the puppy a hug. Say hi to the wife. And we'll talk to you next week.
Later.
All right. FM 96.1 AM 1170, Racer Radio, The Answer. All right, folks, welcome back. You are listening to Racer Radio on FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer. This segment's brought to you by Certified Car Clinic, 11370 North Woodside Avenue. They're still rocking and rolling, taking care of all your automotive needs. Go to their website, CertifiedCarCare.net. Check their hours out. It's Monday through Friday, and they're there for you. Well, folks, it's a very, very sad day today. Even though it is Easter, Sir Sterling Moss has passed away at the age of 81. And I couldn't think of anybody else better to talk to about it than Norm DeWitt, author of Making It Faster 1 and 2. This is a man that's probably spent more time with Sir Moss than most people. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, you know, it's actually, he was 90 years old, and he led one heck of a life to...
Oh, I thought he was 81. Oh.
No, he was 90, and to survive, I was at his 85th birthday.
Wow.
So, yeah, he was, he had a very long, wonderful run, and was, you know, certainly in the post-Fangio, pre-Clark era, he was the greatest show on wheels. And there's just, you know, he did not win the world championship, and universally he's assumed to be the greatest never to win the world championship, and probably better than half the world champions that did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, he won the Mille Miglia, set the fastest speed, 99 point something miles per hour on a 1,000-mile race that ran on public roads down from Brescia to Rome and back. And if you can imagine averaging 100 miles an hour on those twisty roads all over Italy, you get an idea of the kind of capability that this guy had.
Yeah. Yeah, well, when I was a kid, he was one of my idols. You know, I read Road and Track and stayed on top of it. You know, I watched as much of it as they would air on TV. I mean, I didn't even go to my class prom when I graduated because, you know, racing was on, and I gave up going on a date to watch that. So,
well, it's good to hear you got your priorities in the right place.
Absolutely. Are you kidding? Take racing over a high school girlfriend any day.
Sterling was something else, you know. Yeah. I mean, I remember talking to him once about he had won the Italian Grand Prix in a Maserati and 250F. Dominated the Italian Grand Prix and left them to go with Van Wall for 1957.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, you know, I asked him, I said, it seems like a real roll of the dice being as you had the best car going. And he's, but it was a British car. and it was a chance for him to represent England in an English car, and he was not going. And he was always wanting to do that, and finally Van Wall was in with a chance, and he nearly won the World Championship in 1958. I think he lost by a point to Mike Hawthorn, another British racer.
Right.
Ferrari, and but it was the first year of the Manufacturers' Championship, and Van Wall won it. Won the World Manufacturers' Championship, still the only front-engine car to ever achieve that.
Wow, that's amazing. So does he have family?
Yeah. Yes, he does. His wife is, and I know they had a son, and I think he had a daughter, I think, by a previous marriage.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about Sterling was all you'd have to do is just, you know, hey, Sterling, can I give you a call? I want to talk to you about such and such for either my books or an article I'm doing in some British publication. And I'd be like, sure, hey, yeah, give me a call anytime.
Wow.
And that's literally Sterling Moss. I mean, he was just the most approachable, easy to deal with guy, and considering his resume, which was just stunning, he didn't have any of this prima donna thing that goes on with so many racers, especially Formula One racers, in this day and age. So,
well, you know as well as I do, racing back in his time was not necessarily money driven like it is today with the massive sponsors and you know, it just seems to me like it's, you know, the racing was harder back in those days, and it was, you know, it was all about racing.
In those days, he was, you know, when he was racing for England, they were driving green cars.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they were driving green cars was because they were racing for England, and that was the color, the international racing colors for cars from England.
Mm-hmm.
And the Ferraris were red, and the American cars were either white or blue, which explains why the Cunninghams were white with a blue stripe, or say the Eagles were blue with a white stripe. And it was first and foremost racing for king and country, I guess would be.
That's about the best way to explain it. Yeah, absolutely. And to the fact he became knighted. I mean, that's how many race car drivers today get knighted?
A handful. Just a handful. I mean, I can think of Sir Jack Brabham, Sir Jackie Stewart, and I think it was oversight and a sad oversight on their part for not making it Sir John Surtees.
Right.
But by and large, there have been very few. And it just tells you what, you know, that, or people like Frank Williams, who built a Formula One team that, you know, at one time conquered the world.
Right.
And provided a lot of jobs and a lot of prestige for England on the technology side. So, I mean, it's Sir Frank, but it's just a handful of people.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not, they don't pass those out like candy. You know what I mean? You got to really do something for God and country to be even considered.
Or charity work.
Yeah.
You know, which is, I suspect, how Elton John got his. Mm-hmm. And, you know, small wonder that Paul McCartney of the Beatles would have one. And, you know, but it's people that really did represent England in a great light and did a lot to make the world a better place, or just represented England fabulously.
Mm-hmm. And they did, too.
Yeah. It's a very sad day to see Sterling gone. A world without Sterling Moss is a lesser place.
Right. Well, I did see somebody posted that if he was to pick a day, this would be a perfect day for him to go, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't even begin to speculate as to such things.
Yeah.
I remember when he fell down the elevator shaft at his house in his flats in London. And I thought, oh, God, he's probably done, because he was all busted up.
He fell down his elevator shaft? I didn't hear that.
Yeah, he about all busted up. This was probably 10 years ago. And, you know, not a lot of people in their 80s take a swan dive down an elevator shaft and live to tell. And, you know, it wasn't that long before he was back out at the racetracks being interviewed and available and just being a great representative and a real ambassador for the sport.
Oh. I can't even imagine falling down an elevator shaft.
Yeah, well, I can imagine doing it. I just can't imagine ever coming back.
Surviving it anyway. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'd probably be eating turkey out of a straw.
So I hope they're going to do, I hope somebody does a movie on his life. I really hope so.
You know, they've done ones about guys like Fangio, and there's nobody more deserving.
I know.
Than Sterling Moss.
Who do you think would play Sterling?
Oh hell, I don't know. Some short bald guy probably.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. They're all short back in the day too. Well, they are today too.
He certainly wasn't the tallest guy, but you know that's part. I think that was part of his survivability. Is the guys that seem to be a little shorter in stature tend to live a little longer, as opposed to the guys that look like they were for the playing in the NBA.
Right.
He had that going for him, and I was there at Laguna Seca maybe 20 years ago, and he was driving the Aston Martin that won the 24 Hours of Le Mans, Shelby and Salvadori in 59.
Wow.
He was in the race. This is when Ford owned Aston Martin, and he got a little over exuberant down in turn two at Laguna, that double apex left. They call it the empty hairpin. And just crashed the hell out of this Aston Martin into some other car.
Oh, no.
And I was standing there when Jack Nasser came up, walking up to him. And Sterling just was just destroyed at what he had done to this historic Aston Martin. And Jack Nasser was like, oh, hey, man, it's okay. It's just, you know, you're okay. That's the important thing. We can put this thing back together. And believe me, it was a task, I'm sure, to put it back together. But, another time up at the Palm Springs Grand Prix, this kid ran out from between the back of my motorhome and the front of somebody else's and ran in front of Sterling Moss's Lotus, and Sterling whacked this kid.
Oh,
I mean, that was a traumatic situation. It turned out the kid was okay. His mom ran him to every hospital in town trying to generate a lawsuit that nobody would admit this kid because he wasn't hurt. But that was one of the first times I actually was there with Sterling Moss, was in an unfortunate situation like that.
And I bet he was shook up like crazy.
Oh, he was pretty, you know, I mean, it was an awful thing.
Yeah, he's a great guy. All right, buddy. Hey, thank you for taking time out of your Easter, and happy Easter to you. And once this pandemic's over with, let's get together for lunch.
You got it.
All right, folks. Thanks. All right, we're going to take a quick break. This is FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer. Oh, gun show's coming up. Don't go anywhere.
This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.